Welcome to Portable Practical Pediatrics. One of the things that distinguishes the poor state of the average American child's diet is their lack of consumption of fish. Americans just don't seem to eat much fish. And when they do, they often prepare it in an unhealthy fashion. Well, recently the EPA has put out some guidelines for pregnant women and parents of young children to help bring fish safely into the diets of children. In today's PEDcast, I thought we might take a few minutes to go over why all parents should make an attempt to get healthy fish into their children's diet and go over these new guidelines put out by the EPA. So sit back, pop open a can of sardines if you'd like, crank up that volume on that MP3 player, and listen to this important edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Well, you may already be asking yourself, why is consumption of fish good for a child? Well, fish has been part of the traditional diet for humans for thousands of years. It provides a rich source of protein, iron, and other minerals, and essential fats, also known as fatty acids, some of which are omega-3s. Why is eating omega-3 oils important for your child, you're wondering? Because their little brains are literally made of fat. That's why. And those omega-3 fats are a vital part of your child's brain structure. It turns out that your child's brain has the highest concentration of fat of any of their bodily organs. And the more omega-3 fats a child has in their brain, the better their brain function is likely to be. In fact, what my parents used to tell me at the dinner table, "Paul, eat your fish. It will make you smarter." Well, that was actually right. It's a proven fact that many children who exhibit the behavior pattern we call ADHD improve their brain function when they get a steady diet of fish oil. Improvements are seen in the child's memory, the speed of processing, attention span, and ability to manipulate information with the consumption of this oil, or simply by eating healthy fish regularly. In other words, the fats in fish, the omega-3 fats, improves your child's cognitive ability. It will improve your cognitive ability. Who doesn't want that? Yes, these kind of fats are found in some nuts and plant-based foods, but not nearly to the degree that are found in fish. I think it is safe to say that the consensus among nutrition experts is that pregnant moms, older infants, and children should have a steady intake of nutrients that are found in fish, especially during the periods of their rapid brain growth. Well, now you're probably wondering when and which fish should pregnant mothers and their children eat? Well, that's a good question. First, the when question. Well, since we have learned that fish seems to be a wonder food for your child's brain, we want them to get the benefits of its power during their in utero development, as well as all through their childhoods. During the majority of my pediatric career, I've been advising parents to hold off feeding shellfish and scaly fish to children until sometime after 1 year of age, fearing the creation of a food allergy in that child. Well, recent evidence has changed that thinking, and now fish, shellfish, as well as other allergenic foods are recommended to be introduced in your child's diet as soon as they start eating solid foods, unless they have other immediate food allergies or they have severe eczema. That unless, it's an important unless. Don't miss this point and just give highly allergenic foods to your child if they are likely to have food allergies. Careful testing and introduction by an allergist is advised in these high-risk children. So now to the which fish question. Unfortunately, your children are growing up in a world where exposure to the toxin mercury, as well as other heavy metals, is a real concern, especially for their healthy brain development. It turns out that fish that don't eat other fish have lower mercury levels than those that eat other fish, the so-called predator fish. Generally, this translates into your children eating small fish, but not large fish. That makes sense, doesn't it? You can see this association in the guide I have posted with the transcript of this podcast. Moms and children should avoid eating the big, aggressive predator fish like shark, tilefish from the Gulf of Mexico, swordfish, king mackerel, or albacore white tuna. If you're listening to this post and not reading it, take a minute to look over the EPA's advice in the chart that I've posted at my website, www.doxmo.com, under this podcast. So we've seen that for your children, eating low mercury fish can have great benefits for their health and cognitive function. But the next question you're likely to have is, does the cooking method affect the nutritional value of the fish? And I think you already know the answer to that one. Of course it does. Breading your children's fish with loads of carbohydrate, frying it in super hot, saturated, unhealthy oils, and adding lots of salt not only adds lots of calories to the fish, but undoubtedly lowers its nutritional value. Sorry. When you think healthy, think about cooking with the B methods. Broiling, boiling, baking, or that fun backyard grilling. We live in the era of 24-hour-a-day cooking channel, and our best-selling books are usually cookbooks. So get out there and get inventive and start cooking. Learn to cook and eat fish regularly. Fish consumption is vital for both you and your children's long-term health. Make sure your family is getting the benefits. Well, if you enjoy learning about child health topics with Portable Practical Pediatrics with your host, Doc Smo, please take a moment to write a review on iTunes or like the page, my Facebook page, DocSmo.com. This helps others find my blog. Thanks for joining me today. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, hoping that you find a way to make eating fish something delish. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.